This is Sandra Roscoe Wolf, culture agent columnist for LB Post, and I'm here with
Al Williams.
How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Good, good. So you have you just wrapped up your Bayou Festival, right?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, we took it over 2 years ago. It's a New Orleans style event. We bring in bands from Louisiana and Cajun Zydeco music. And we also have a blues stage, and we brought in Dr. John and Guitar Shorty for our headliners this year.
And Barbara Morrison, who's a local...
Barbara worked with my band over there. And we have a big children's area, and we have Ronald McDonald there, and some stuff for kids, magic shows and so on and so forth. It's a really good experience.
And how was the reception this year?
Very well, very well. Yeah, we're bringing it up quite a bit from the previous owners.
Great, great. Yeah, I mean, it's a great idea, and I think it's a nice fit for the spot.
Yeah, it is.
With your up-leveling the talent, the entertainment, it's a slam dunk, I'm sure.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, so far I've been lucky.
Good, good, good. And then when is the Jazz Festival is just beginning to... Crest the horizon. It's in August, right?
Yes, August 12th through the 14th.
So how's that shaping up?
Real good, real good. It's, it's a lot of work, a lot of work.
This is 25 years, is that right?
24.
24, okay.
Yeah, next year's our 25th.
So does that even make sense to you at all?
Well, when I started, I never thought it would get this far, but I'm sure glad it did. And I've had a wonderful experience with artists and guys I've played with over the years, and that's kind of like our reunion spot now.
Right, right.
Yeah, so it's been good.
And what about the landscape of music over? It's evolved clearly. And there's still people that are playing very traditional kind of straight ahead stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's still a lot of new up and coming smooth guys. How is that affecting the festival?
Well. It makes it more challenging because, I'm pretty much a straight-ahead artist myself. I play some smooth, but not very much. And the evolution from straight-ahead to smooth, and now it's gone to everybody's going retrospect back to, like the 80s and 70s type of pop, R&B-ish, jazz mixture type orientation of music. It's you got to really stay on your toes to keep up with all of it, and it's I would like to see more straight ahead come back.
Mm-hmm. Are there still a lot of groups who are playing stuff like that now?
Yeah, there are. It's unfortunate because most of the young people that are playing straight ahead music are not being recognized as well as they should be. There's some phenomenal musicians out there.
There really are. Some of them from Long Beach.
Yeah.
I mentioned Anthony Shattuck. He's a bass player. He's a writer. He's frontman, sideman. He does a lot of different kinds of stuff. And there's lots of local guys who are really fantastic. And a lot of really amazing talent comes out of Cal State Long Beach as well.
Yes.
It's pretty astounding, actually.
Yeah.
So do you see the festival reflecting that at all? Is there still an interest amongst the attendees?
Yes, there's an interest. It's not what I'd like it to be, but we still have, and I have straight ahead music in there. My band's in there every year,
right?
And we're playing straight ahead. We put a few on our latest CD. There's a couple of crossover tunes that we do. But other than that, we're pretty much straight ahead. I normally use Barbara Morrison in the band on that particular gig, and we keep it swinging.
I think she is one of the great Long Beach assets. I mean, she's just somebody that's been in this community for so long, and I don't know if she actually lives in Long Beach, but I think of her as...
Not anymore.
I think of her as a Long Beach artist.
Yeah, she got her start in Long Beach.
Right.
I was very instrumental in getting her a start over at the Jazz Safari in the Birdland West.
So, thanks for that, because she's great.
She's a great lady.
Yeah. And then you're playing at the Seabird. And that's a sort of a new up-and-coming. It's been around for a couple of years, right?
Yeah, longer than that. It was called the Cotton Club in the beginning. And then I guess they had a problem with the name Cotton Club because it was registered by someone else or something. And, and so he's just now really starting up this Seabird Lounge. I guess, yeah, that name Seabird has been in existence now for about a couple of years, you're right. Yeah.
And Max, who is booking the music, she's really bringing in some great talent, and of course she brought you in. Now, when are you playing?
We'll be there on this coming Saturday, the 9th.
The 9th, great.
Yeah, and my whole band, not just part of it, but the whole band will be there.
How many pieces?
We have 6 pieces in the band.
Nice. Very good, very good. And have you played there before?
Once, years ago, I played there, yeah. I guess that's, well, that was in the Cotton Club days, so that's, I forget how long, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
And if you don't mind my asking, you owned 2 of the best jazz venues in Long Beach, and I think so many people were, like, so sad to see them both go. Mm-hmm. Is there ever any plan on your part to, like, launch another one?
No.
You learned your lesson?
Well, I had 16 years of that between the two clubs, you know, and it really diminished my ability to play my music because I couldn't travel much, you know. And when I was with Eddie Harris's band, he did a lot of traveling, and I couldn't do much of that at all. And with Hampton Hall's, it was the same situation. So, you know, it was a great experience for me. Both clubs. Now, when I left Jazz Safari, it was not of my choosing. My lease was up, and they decided that they wanted my spot. So that was a forced-out situation. And Birdland was, I'm tired, see you later, experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had been to Birdland. I think I went into Jazz Safari once as, like, a little kid.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Birdland was... It was sort of legendary on the, you know, people, jazz lovers on the West Coast. And
well, it was rated the number one jazz club in the nation in one time, which was really it blew me away when I heard that.
Well, it was a beautiful place, and you brought amazing talent in, and people loved playing there, and people loved listening to the music there.
So yeah.
It's a perfect combination. You know?
Well, it was a club that was built for the music. Right. You know, not many clubs are built for the music.
Right.
They build a club, and then they bring jazz into the club instead of building a club for jazz.
Right. Well, pretty much that almost never happens.
Yeah. Well, I did in my instance, which, you know, I don't know if it's good or not.
Well, it was good. It was a good experience for people who were there. I don't know on the business side if it was good, but...
Yeah. The first few years were really good, and then, you know, it settled out, and new music came in, and, you know, the guys got older and started dying and retiring, and I got tired, too.
Right. Yeah. So, in putting together the festival, mm-hmm. Year after year, I noticed, it's funny, because the last time I went was a while ago now. I used to work for KLON.
Oh, yeah.
Back when it was KLON.
Uh-huh.
And I had to work at the festival, at your festival, handing out flyers or something for the Blues Festival or something like that.
Yeah,
I
don't
know what. But Michael Frank was on the bill. And he's been there a lot, hasn't he?
Yes, yes.
So is it hard to... bring new folks in?
No, it's not hard to bring new people in. It's just that, you know, I have my favorites and they work well and I like working with them.
And they're popular.
Yeah, very popular people. So.
Yeah, people love him.
He's got a little cult following, that guy, you know. I had him at the Valentine's show this past year at the Terrace Theater, and he did quite well there as well.
That's great. Now, tell me about that.
Well, we've been doing that for 10 years now. Actually, it's like the weekend of Valentine's, you know, because Valentine's, you know, falls on different days. So the closest to Valentine's is when we have we call it our sweetheart concert. It's a dinner concert, and it works out very well.
Great. And so that's at the Terrace Theater?
Yes.
And you do a dinner thing?
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Works great. We take the the loge area and the balcony area on the outer perimeter, and we set up tables and we put up balloons and the whole nine yards, and have a nice little intimate dinner for there for about 200 people.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And so then, what other kinds of performers have you had to come over the years to those?
What do you mean?
You mentioned Michael Frank.
I see. Well, I mean, just about everybody. You know, I've worked with as far back as Cab Calloway, you know, all the way up to present. I mean, I've just about worked with all of them, or all of them have worked for me.
Specifically for the Valentine event.
Oh, for the Valentine event.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the last year we had an explosion band that was Kirk Whalum, Gerald Albright, Peter White, Jeff Golub, and then Michael Franks had his band there. And in the past, we've had Jeffrey Osborne over there. We've had Nancy Wilson over there. We've had, name them, just about all of them over the 10 years.
That's fantastic. It must be a pleasure to bring this kind of talent to Long Beach. You know, it's I think that it's a great statement about the city, you know, and I think that what you do is probably one of the best marketing efforts on behalf of the city.
Oh,
creating
you.
These kinds of wonderful events that are family friendly and fun, and people come and they just have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, all of the challenges, you've got them all worked out. And
well, I wouldn't say that, but there's always a challenge.
Well, you know, I guess what I mean is, because I come from experiencing event production, and there's the challenges that you may engage in, and then there's the things that people who would attend experience. And I think the people that come and enjoy the shows, they don't really maybe experience the kinds of challenges that they might at other events.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've really got it dialed in. Everyone has a great time. I did have a strange experience, though,
mm-hmm.
at the Long Beach Jazz Festival. I was working, and I came into the area where all these people were sitting and watching the music from the stage. And all of a sudden, everybody stood up and started to do the electric slide.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know how to do it. So I was like, trapped amongst all these electric sliders. And they were trying to help me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
I don't know which way to turn. Or it was really funny. It was
well, hilarious. Don't feel bad, because I still can't do it.
It was very funny. And it's a very fond memory I have of the event.
Great.
But so what other events are you doing? There's the Bayou and Blues, there's the Jazz Festival, there's the Valentine's Festival. Are there others?
We have a spring concert over at the Terrace Theater, and then my daughter, who's been my right hand for a long time, well, now she's got one called Ladies Night Out, and it's just prior to Mother's Day. That was our first time with that show this year, and it turned out really well, so we'll put that in there for an annual event.
Nice.
And yeah, and she has done a phenomenal job with the Long Beach Jazz Festival as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I get a lot of credit that she actually should be hers.
What is her role?
Well, she's actually an assistant producer. She handles a lot of logistical situations at the event. She takes care of the marketing pretty much for us now. And she's just an Girl Friday, I guess you could call it. Yeah.
That's great. That's great. Well, it's good to have people that you can trust and rely on.
Yes, that's a blessing.
Yeah, to allow yourself to focus on those things that you need to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, now, you mentioned you have, is it a new CD?
Yeah, we've got a new CD out that came out, I guess, about 4 months ago, I would imagine, somewhere in that area. Yeah, it's a fun CD. It's called what is it called? You know, when you get old, you get these Something to Groove By.
Uh-huh.
Is the name of the CD, and it's got some original music on it as well as some recordings by famous jazz artists as well.
Mm-hmm. And is it your full six piece?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Yes, and Barbara's on it. Barbara Morrison's on one of the tunes that I wrote. Let's see who else is on. Oh, you know, actually, another Long Beach guy, Jim. What's Jim's last name? Hewitt. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with him?
I know Jimmy the Hewitt? Name. I don't think I've ever met him though.
Yeah, he's a good player, and also we had. He played a heck of a guitar on that Herbie Hancock tune that I rearranged. Can't think of his name. Any rate.
I'll look it up on the CD.
Please. Yeah.
And where did you record it?
We recorded No Name in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. It's a nice little studio out there.
Mm-hmm. Was it live in the studio, or did you do a lot of multi-tracking?
No, I don't do any multi-tracking. Mm-hmm. It's live.
Live in the studio.
What you hear is what happened.
You know? I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, that's great. And so you're going to be playing on Sunday at the festival.
Yes.
And that's sort of your tradition, right?
Yes.
That's what you do every year.
Yes.
And that must be a real kick to play to that audience.
It's fun, but you know, as you get older and you've had 2 days out there, you know, in the trenches, you're really kind of tired when Sunday comes, and it's kind of an effort to get on the bandstand. But, you know, as in any musician, once you get on the bandstand, you know, all the tiredness goes away. Until after the performance.
Right.
And we're doing a tribute to Gil Scott-Heron, who passed away a couple months ago. And he was also, I had him at the festival many times, as mm-hmm. well as Birdland West.
So, are you going to be, what kind of material of his are you going to be?
We're going to do his, you know, some of his favorite stuff. I mean, stuff that was really, you know, like the Revolution Will Not Be Televised. We have Karen Clark, who's a poet. She'll be doing that tune, and then that tune is that jazz, which was a big hit by him as well.
He was a prolific writer.
He was. He was very, very much misunderstood as a person and human being. He really had a great heart inside. He saw what most people can't see about America, and it was disturbing to him, you know. But it's a country that he was born and raised in, and he loved it, our country, as well as I and you and everybody else who's American. And he saw a lot of injustices that's what he really wrote about. You know, his poetry was about the injustices. So it's you know, it's a sad that he passed, because he's younger than I, you know, and it's, but his calling was over, I guess.
Well, you know, I'm so glad that you're doing this tribute. I think it's apt, and I'm sure it'll be great.
Oh yeah, it'll be fun. We're gonna make it fun for Gil. Excuse me.
Sure. And are you gonna be doing any touring aside from this show here in Long Beach at Seabird and?
Not this year. No, I'm staying in Southern California this year. Yeah. You know, we'll probably go out next year. The Berks Festival has shown interest in me coming up there. And, you know, if we get up to Berks, I'm quite sure we'll do New York and all the places around that area. But I'm not much of a road person any longer.
The road is hard.
Yeah, and I like, you know, I like my creature comforts, you know. I like my TV and my chair and my dogs. And
I hear you.
You know, yeah.
I feel bad walking out the door any day because our dogs...
Look at me. Yeah, I know.
Well, great. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I really appreciate your time, and it's a pleasure talking with you. I'm super thrilled to catch you over at Seabird.
We're looking forward to it.
And you know, the Jazz Festival every year is just great.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your support.
Yeah, absolutely.